Let us all say amen. I want to be thankful for those that are here on this afternoon that understand that Christ shed that blood that we may have an opportunity to go to heaven. Amen? Amen. And if you're here with us on this afternoon and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know we don't want you to leave that way. We want you to understand that Christ shed his blood for you. In the scriptures, it's referred to as the gospel, that he died on that cross. He suffered 6 hours on that cross.
Yes, sir.
He died for the sins that I did and that you did and that the world did. But also, he gave us an opportunity to become a child of God through obedience to that gospel.
Yes, sir.
And be a member of the Church of Christ. And so if you're here today, we don't want you to leave not being a member of the Church of Christ. And I'll say some things, hopefully, that's in the message that would encourage you to obey the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I want to start this afternoon by, I've had some that have come to me and have given me words of encouragement. And it's not so much that they have encouraged me for things I may have done, whether it was patting me on the back, but in some cases, they've come to me basically giving me encouragement to do certain things and being an example. Amen?
Amen?
And so I just want to say for those that have come to me and have given me encouragement, I want to say thank you for being that encouragement. Amen?
Amen?
Because the preacher needs encouragement also. And I want to thank Brother Brooks this morning for giving us encouraging words. I told him today, I said, you inspired me and encouraged me, and we're going into a new year. Amen? And so I think we want to be encouraged and motivated this year. And hopefully on this afternoon you come with that mindset that I come this afternoon that the Word of God can encourage me and lift me over challenges I may be facing that I can serve the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
And so I want to speak on this afternoon from the subject, what is your spiritual house filled with? Yeah. What is your spiritual house filled with? So what I want to do, I want to offer words of encouragement. And these are coming from the assistant minister of this congregation as we move into the year 2019. This is my encouragement to those of us that are here this afternoon and even those that may get a copy of the message. This is my encouragement to you as we move into the year 2019. And so we got Brother Brooks. Brother Floyd thought he was doing something to you. He thought he was putting you in punishment by saying, Brother Brooks, welcomely speaking today, Brother Smith. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
So we got Brother Brooks as our reader on this afternoon, and I want to say that I want you, you're going to use your Bible also, but I also want, because I've learned that in some cases you have others with different translations of the Bible, amen? And so sometimes, and I had this occur to me, and I think I said to the church before, when me and my wife went to visit in Florida, and we went to worship service, and the young man was there preaching, and because he had a different translation of the Bible, I don't know if it was the NIV or the New King James, but me and my wife were challenged to follow him because we have the King James Version. And so the reason I do that is so that you'll know what I'm talking about. You have your Bibles, but you'll know what I'm talking about because there's oftentimes I want to refer to words and the wording may be different in your Bible if you don't have the King James. Amen? So that's it. And I think I said to myself that I want, and again, I thank for the encouragement, I want to be, try to develop to be the best teacher, the best preacher that I can be for the Lord for this congregation. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want you to be with me. So the question on the floor is, what is your spiritual house filled with? And so, in Matthew chapter 12, Brother Brooks, in verse number 43.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man,
yeah,
he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none.
Okay, he says, so when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, The Bible says he walketh through dry places. He's seeking rest and finding none. Verse 44.
Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out.
Yeah.
And when he had come out, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished.
So I want to say that we are just starting this new year. And 2019, as the scripture text, I'm using metaphor here, 2019 is empty. Amen? 2019 is also swept. There's nothing there. We've only been less than a week in the year 2019. But also, what we find is that not only was when this unclean spirit came back, he found that the place where he came back to, it was empty, it was swept, and it was garnished. Amen? And so when we look up the word garnished, and as I said before, for those that are your Greek students, I'll always give you the Greek spelling if you want to look that, but I'm going to share the word in English so we can understand it. So the word garnished means to arrange or to put in order. And I think for 2019, we need to be concerned with putting things in order. Amen, somebody. Okay. It is providing that which is needed or to furnish. And so for 2019, it's empty. By 2019, it is swept. There's nothing there. But now the question is how I'm going to arrange or what I'm going to put in order in 2019, how I'm going to fill up my spiritual house in 2019. Yeah. How am I going to fill it? What I'm going to fill it with? Am I going to, will my 2019 be like my 2018? We talked about, I think I heard this morning about doing better in 2019 than we did in 2018. But I also want to let us know that in the Bible, get from me, Brother Brooke, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because the Apostle Paul refers to three types of Christians at the congregation in Corinth. And so I want you to see that there are three types of Christians in Corinth. And I want you, as I'm doing also, I want to look where I am and who I am and where I can be for 2019. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul in his letter to the Corinthians said what?
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
So Paul identifies three types of Christians in that text. He said you have those that are spiritual. He said you have those that are carnal. And then you have those that are babes, and he's noticed now, babes are just like those that are carnal, because he says, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. So carnal are like babes, but there's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about those that are spiritual, spiritual are those, when you say, well, you ask yourself, well, am I spiritual? Spiritual are those in Christ. Now notice, I said those in Christ. Nobody in the world is spiritual. Nobody that's not a member of the Church of Christ is spiritual. You know, we have that word bantered about where people say, well, you know, I'm spiritual. If you are not a Christian, you are not spiritual. Amen. Yeah. Because you have to be in Christ to be spiritual. But spiritual, and I'll show you, are those in Christ who live according to the scriptures and to please God.
All right.
Yeah. 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 Spirituality of those people. You know, I'm here tonight, not only because it's commanded, but I'm also trying to please God. But then we have those that are carnal. Carnal are those whose behavior that is controlled by human or worldly desires. Yeah. I'm carnal when I let my fleshly desires govern me and I follow what I want to do. Yeah. I'm carnal. Yeah. And the difference between carnal and beige, notice now, you are one that is spiritually immature. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't grown as I have ought to grown. This is what Paul was talking about. I haven't grown. And so, brother, but get from 1 Corinthians 2:13. Let me show you those that are spiritual, and then Paul talks about those that are carnal. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, he talks about the spiritual person.
Which things also we speak.
Uh-huh.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
Yeah.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Uh-huh.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Spiritual people compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen, somebody. There. When you are spiritual, your comparison is spiritual with spiritual.
Right.
Now, when I am carnal, read verse 14.
But the natural man,
yeah,
receiving not the things of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
For they are foolishness unto him.
Uh-huh.
Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
So those that are carnal, the note Paul said in the text, he said, but the natural man, some people say, well, what's carnal and what's spiritual? I'm going to help us out a little bit. You know, the rodeo is coming to town this year. You know that? Uh-huh. Yeah, the rodeo is coming. Me and my wife were talking. We haven't been to the rodeo for many years, but we going to the rodeo this year. Yeah, we going to the rodeo this year. Yeah. But in verse number 12, Brother Brooks, of that text, the Bible says what?
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
Yeah.
But the spirit which is of God.
That?
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Let me show you carnality versus spirituality. I said, me and my wife going, the Lord said the same, we're going to go to the rodeo this year. We're going to go, and I thought, you know, they fry everything at the rodeo. You can get fried turkey, fried this, fried everything. But let me say this, how can I know if I'm caught? If you go to the rodeo, and I think someone told me that they got, is it Cardi B? Is that her name? Somebody ought to say, man, that's what they say. If you go to see, pay your money to go see Cardi B, put yourself in that category.
Who is Cardi B?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Rapper?
Yeah. If you go see her, put yourself in the category of being carnal. Because that's the spirit of the
world.
Yeah. 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 If you go see her, if you got your, if when they flash that list of people that's showing, and if you say, oh, I'm going to see her. Yeah. 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 See, now somebody, we need to have somebody there standing at the gate. Yeah, that's what we need. We need somebody there, and we need to see all of us that are in the Lord that go to see Cardi B. Yeah, because I want to let you know right then, I'm Brother Strider saying you in the area of carnality, because you letting your fleshly desire move you to go see somebody you ought not be seeing if you're a Christian. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling so you can see what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So when that came up and you said that, yeah, I'm going to see. Yeah, if you going to see her, that's where you are. Because you letting your fleshly appetite drive you to go see something you ought not be wanting to see. It's quiet in here now. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm going to preach it anyway. Yeah, I'm going to share it with us. So now, that's carnality again. When my behavior is controlled by my desire, you can't control yourself, because a Christian is going to exercise temperance or self-control. Amen. That doesn't mean that you don't want to do things, but because I'm spiritual, I've developed a temperance or self-control that I don't do everything I want to do. Mm-hmm. But then what are babes, Brother Stroud? Babes are those not experienced in the word of righteousness. They are spiritually inexperienced. Yeah. The difference between a carnal person and a spiritual person: a carnal person is one that is spiritually immature. A babe is someone who is spiritually inexperienced. All right. That's why you obeyed. Yeah. And that's why it's important. Notice what he said in verse number 2, Brother Brooks, of 1 Corinthians 3. He said what?
I have fed you with milk.
Yeah.
And not with meat.
Uh-huh.
For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able.
So now Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able to bear it. So the word feed means, or fed means, teaching of the elementary thing from the Word of God. We have a class called what? First principles. That first principle class is for those that are babes, or it's for those. I can be a person that's been in the Lord for 10 years, but I just want to go back and get our first principle. That class is available to you. Amen. So we made it where it's not a new convert class. It's a class that teaches first principles. And sometimes we can come into the Lord and we've missed those first principles.
That's right.
We was talking today about sometimes parents, we'll have our children, we raise them up in the Lord, but our children sometimes never develop an appetite for spiritual things. And then you find, you wonder, when your child gets 17 and 18 and whatever, they don't want to do spiritual things because you did not develop spirituality in them.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the parental responsibility that we talked about this morning, where we have those funds designated for our young group. And the designation is for we're trying to develop our youth for the future. Yeah. And so our young people need to have a desire. Parents, you need to. I know my daughter said to me one time, she said, Dad, and I didn't ask her to say this. She said, Dad, we knew this. My older daughter said. She said, when we were growing up, we knew we were either going to go to this or we was going to go to that. We knew we didn't have a choice to not go because we were going to participate. You're going to go to the youth conference. You're going to go to the youth activities. It was not optional. You going. And she said that to me. She said, Daddy, we knew we didn't have a choice. We were going, and that wasn't even a question about do you want to go. Yeah. And back then, my mother, my wife, when our girls was younger, she would chaperone and go. Sometimes our parents, those that got younger kids, you need to participate and be a chaperone. Go with your child. See what they're doing.
Man. Yeah.
Well, Paul said that was some elementary teaching, mm-hmm. And that's what our first principle class is. To go back, I think I appreciate Mike for giving me the chance to come in there and teach the class one time. But that's the class. It doesn't matter. Notice it's not based on your age. It's the subject matter that we're talking about. And right. Those subjects that are taught in that class on Sunday are first principles that those people that want to get those first principles can get them. So Paul said those, and then what he was sharing was that in the text, it was those that were carnal that needed first principles. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you can have some of us in the Lord, and we still need first principles. Yeah. And then Paul talked about in verse number 3, what are the traits or sign of carnality? The Bible says it in verse number 3. Paul said, for you are yet what?
Carnal.
Read.
For whereas there is among you envying.
Yeah.
And strife.
Uh-huh.
And division.
Uh-huh.
Are you not carnal and walk as men?
Yeah, so Paul said he gives us a sign that I know. If I'm someone that's envious, and the word envy in this text simply means jealous, a jealousy, wanting to have what someone else has for the wrong reason. When you jealous of somebody, Paul said, that is a carnal trait. When you are one that anger to the point that you are arguing with another person and you are displaying strife, that's carnality. Christians ought not be arguing in each other's face, angry and arguing with one another. That's a spirit of a carnal person.
Well.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Because I'm spiritual. I'm going to say to my brother, I hear what you're saying, but look, I'm not going to, if we can't discuss this peaceably,
Right.
If we can't discuss this as two Christians, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's nothing to discuss.
That's it.
You know, and in our discussion, I'm going to be quiet while you talk, and then I'm going to ask you to be quiet while I talk so we can both be able to say what we want to say. But when I'm one that I get so angry that I get up in somebody's face and I start pointing, that's carnal behavior. Yeah.
Right.
When we're at home, we had a very good class on Friday night, and we want to encourage those here. We had a class. Now we have a class for those that are married, those that are desiring to be married, those that are thinking about marriage. I just want to know about the subject, marriage. We have a class the first Friday of each month, and along with that class, we've started a widows and widower class that Brother Brooks and Brother Alexander is leading or facilitating, and we want to encourage you to come out. We had a good class on Friday night, but that's where you learn. I had a sister came to me today. She said, Brother Stroud, I had to go home, and I had to tell my husband, I did not know I was stepping outside of my bounds, because she didn't know. We talked in the class from 1 Corinthians 11 that the head of every man is who?
God.
And the head of the woman is the
man.
And the head of Christ is
God.
That's God's order. And spiritual people, if I'm a spiritual, as my sister said, if Buster, I'm trying to be more spiritual. If you're a spiritual, you're going to respect that order.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a spirit. Now, if you carnal, you're going to, well, you don't care what, no man, ain't no man going to tell you carnal. Yeah. That's a sign of carnality.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But why? Because the spiritual woman want to please God. Amen. Let me show you that. Get from Ephesians chapter 5. I'll share it with you. Yeah, I had somebody curve me and say, Brother Stroud, just preach till you finish.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me show you in the Bible so you can see
that.
Spirituality. Show you what, before we get in, I'm going to share with you for the year 2016. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about spiritual men. In verse number 25, Ephesians chapter 5, Bible says what?
Husband, love your wife.
Yeah.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
Yeah.
And gave himself for it.
Yeah.
That he might sanctify.
Uh-huh.
Cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Yeah. Now go ahead, read.
That he might present it to himself, a glorious church.
Yeah.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
Verse 28.
But that it should be holy and without blemish.
Verse 28.
So all men love their wives.
Uh-huh.
As their own bodies.
Uh-huh.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
Yeah. And so I shared in the class that spiritual men love their wives. Yeah. Spiritual men, I use the example in the class. I said, if Sister Stroud was the sorriest woman in Texas, I'm still going to love her. Why? Because God told me to love her. And I'm trying, if I'm spiritual, I'm trying to please God. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I'm trying to please God. And understand this here. My loving her ain't based on how good a wife she is to me. My loving her is because God commanded it, and I'm trying to please God, which if I please God, if she's spiritual, I'm going to please her. Yeah. But I also talked about the fact that verse number 33, till I talk to our sisters and show you how a spiritual sister is. Read, Brother Brooks.
Nevertheless,
uh-huh.
Let every one of you in particular so love his wife,
yeah,
even as himself,
uh-huh.
And the wife, see that she reverence her husband.
Yeah, so I said then, that what the Lord is saying to the wife is you have the lower ground here, but what the Lord is saying to the wife, he's saying to the wife is that even if, and I think your sister said this to me, even if your husband is the laziest man in Texas.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. God said you still reverence him. You put him on a pedestal. Why? Because God said it, not because he earned it. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Understand this here. When God speaks to us, those that are spiritual are trying to please God. And we're going to do what God says. It's quiet in here now. Let me get out of here. Yeah. But again, what I'm showing us the difference between spirituality and carnality. A spiritual person, I'm going to love my wife irregardless of how she responds to me. I'm going to love her. If she's a spiritual woman, she's going to reverence or respect me irregardless of what type of person I am. But I also said, according to that, get from me Acts 5:29, because I think I had to give a scripture to the sisters then to help them feel good. So get from me Acts 5:29, because I think there was a little, at that point, during class, that they needed some help. Yeah, so I told the sister, I said, understand this here. In Ephesians 5:29,
and Peter?
Yeah.
And the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Yeah, so I tell the sisters, that you obey God rather than any man. Amen, somebody. In regards to what he, if he asks you to do anything that's outside the will of God, you obey God rather than man. Outside of that, you'll also, just like the husband's supposed to please his wife, the wife's supposed to please her husband. If you're trying to be spiritual and you're trying to grow to be spiritual, these are things that I look at as I move into 2019. I want to be a more spiritual husband. My wife want to be a more spiritual wife. Then I please God by doing the word of God. I'm going to show you that in the text. So, Brother Stroud, so now, what is your spiritual house filled with? Get from Matthew 6:33. I'm going to share with us what your spiritual house is filled with and how I arrive at that. Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first
the
kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
And his righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Now, I studied that, and the word first means before. There's no number on that. The word first means before. So watch this. The question for 2019 is, will you put the king, remember that's our theme for 2019, will you put the king before other things in your life? That's the question. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God ought to come, and his righteousness ought to become before all these other things for 2019. I'm trying to help us this afternoon. Yeah. What will you put before the king? Or will all these other things come behind the king? That's the question. Paul, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. But so now, what am I? What are Christians to fill their house with? 2 Timothy chapter 3, Brother Brooks. 2 Timothy 3:16. Yeah. What should I fill my house with?
All scripture.
All scripture
is given by the inspiration of God.
Uh-huh.
And is profitable for doctrine.
Yeah.
For reproof.
Yeah.
For correction.
Yeah.
For instruction in righteousness.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Hold that. Paul said here, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And the word profitable means useful. He said it's for doctrine. Doctrine tells me what's right. When I want to know what's right, I go to doctrine. Reproof tells me what's wrong. Correction tells me how to get right. Righteousness tells me how to stay right. So Paul said to them, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. If I need to know what's right, scripture can do it. If I need to know what's wrong, scripture would do it. If I need to know how to get right, scripture would do it. If I need to know how to stay right, scripture will do it.
That's right.
Because he said in the next verse, Brother Brooks, what did he say?
It may be perfect. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So Paul said then that the man of God may be, the word perfect here means fitted or mature or complete. And so when something fits me, it's complete. It fits. But he said, notice now, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And remember we talked about the word garnish means to furnish. But what I'm furnishing myself with, I should be filling myself up with the word furnished means to be filled with scriptures for spiritual service. You can't be spiritual when you are not studying the word of God. Yeah. Yeah. You can't grow spiritually if I'm not filling myself with scripture in order to serve spiritually.
All right.
How does the Christian become spiritual? Two ways. Give it to you. Two ways. How, and understand this here. I can become spiritual and then lose my spirituality. It's the same thing we said. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. I have to do those things to stay that way. When it comes to spirituality, two things that I have to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, Brother Brooks. First one.
Study to show thyself approved unto God,
uh-huh,
a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God of truth.
So the first thing, how do I become spiritual? You have to study the word of God. There is no substitute. You have to study the word of God, and as the Bereans in Acts 17:11, you need to search the scripture every day. If you're going to be spiritual, you need to make, and I include myself in that, I need to make time every day to study the word of God. Yeah. God gave us 24 hours in a day. If I'm spiritual, I'm going to make time to study from the word of God. Yeah. That's if I want to be spiritual.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the second thing I need, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Brother Brooks, 17. Yeah. Not only do I need to study every day, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, showing you how one becomes spiritual. First, it comes from study. Yeah.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah. So the second thing, if I'm going to be spiritual in 2019, I need to study God's word every day. That's how I attain becoming spiritual. I must study something spiritual. God is spiritual.
All right.
I must study God's word every day. And not only that, I need to pray to God every day. So when I'm trying to become spiritual, not only am I studying every day, but I'm praying without ceasing.
Right.
Yeah. And ceasing doesn't mean what we sometimes, the word ceasing, as I gave an example, is as I'm driving down the street and I'll drive a little bit, light turn red, I stop. It turn green, I go. Turn red again, I stop. If light turn green, I go. So that's without ceasing, meaning I pray to God continually. Not all the time, but I take time to pray to God. Amen, somebody. I want to encourage us. We need to pray more, and I'm encouraging all of us to pray with your families more. We need to be a praying family. Amen. Man, sometimes our schedule gets so busy, I'm going to put it on the leaders of the family. Ask for your family to have prayer time. We want to pray. You'll be amazed what your children will pray for and ask for and remind you about certain things when they pray. But we need to be a more praying family. Amen. So how do I obtain spirituality? It's through studying God's word and I pray to God. Let me say this here. Some spiritual people attend every service that they are able to attend. Spiritual people attend every service that they are available to attend.
Right, right.
I'm fooling myself, mm-hmm, if I say I'm spiritual and I don't avail myself to hear the word of God.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I'm saying that. Yeah. I have some work to do. Uh-huh. Yeah. I have to watch this because for some, even on today, my fleshly side kept me home watching NFL football playoff as opposed to coming and hearing the word of God. That's carnality. So you'll see it. Yeah. 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 Because if I'm spiritual, I want to hear from the word of God. How can I stay spiritual? Get from James 1:22, Brother Brooks. Yeah. How can I stay spiritual? Yeah. James said that in James 1:22.
But be ye doers of the word, uh-huh, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Yeah, notice now, I can deceive myself, but how do I maintain my spirituality? When I obey the word. I'm not spiritual if I'm not obedient to what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because I'm deceiving my own self. If I come and think about this, we come here and we are here, if we're faithful to the service, we hear over 100 sermons every year, about 100, somewhere in that range, 52 weeks times two. I hear 100 sermons every week. Along with that, I have Bible class. There's no way that I can't be spiritual if I just start doing the things I'm studying.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do I stay spiritual? I study the Word of God, but also 2 Corinthians 13:5, Brother Brooks. So I'm giving a point. How do I obtain spirituality? Through studying and through prayer. How do I stay spiritual? One, I got to be obedient to the Word of God. I got to be a doer. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says something there.
Examine yourselves.
Great reading.
Whether you be in the faith.
Uh-huh.
Prove your own self.
That's good. Part of being spiritual means I got to examine myself. I got to examine myself as I'm in this walk and see how. Notice Paul commanded them. He said, examine yourself. What am I examining, Paul? Whether you be in the faith. Yeah. Yeah. We know there's one faith, but am I in the faith? He said, now, the word prove, he said, test your own self. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in everything in life, you have to test yourself. You get your driver's license, you got to prove it. You get a degree, you're going to have to prove it. Yeah, well, if you're going to be a Christian and be spiritual, prove it. Yeah, examine yourself. Ask yourself, how faithful am I? And the thing is, as I said, we said in class Friday night, as I learn better, I should what? That's how I become spiritual. Yeah. So it doesn't matter where I was in 2018. I want to become more spiritual in 2019. I want to be a spiritual person in 2019. How do I do that? I'm studying the Word of God. I'm praying to God. I'm now doing what the Word of God said. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start checking myself. I'm going to start examining myself to see whether I'm in the faith. And so again, what is your spiritual house filled with? It ought to be filled with Scripture. Your spiritual house ought to be filled with the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of God, adding the Word of God to our lives, that for 2019, we can be that spiritual person. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to have no challenges with carnality. Amen. Because even the most spiritual person, you know, sometimes I've learned this here as a minister, you have to be careful sometimes when people come up to you and say, let me talk to you on the side.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hold on. And oftentimes, sister, hold on. Tell us, I want you to say whatever you got to say in front of everybody. Yeah, we don't need to go to no side. We don't need to go to no corner. I'm welcome for everybody here, what you about to say to me. Yeah. Because sometimes people will trip you up when they talk about stuff and ask you stuff, just like they did with you, try to trap Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. But don't do that. Yeah. As I close, get from Matthew. You said it this morning, Brother Brooks. You had my text this morning. The thing I need to know, and so again, if I'm the person I want to be spiritually, I'm going to be faithful to service, I'm going to study the Word, and I'm going to try to the best of my ability to become a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. I'm going to start praying to God on a daily basis about not only praying for things that I need, but also we want to get into an area where we learn intercessory prayer, where we pray for other people. Amen? And so what is the first thing that I should put in the house if I'm not a Christian? In Matthew 28, Brother Brooks, in verse 18, you said it this morning. The Bible says Jesus came.
18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Read.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
So now, we are commanded, those that are Christians, to teach those that are non-Christians. Notice he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the thing we're supposed to teach them, we said at the offset this morning, this afternoon, we're supposed to teach them about the gospel. We need to teach them, according to John 3:16, that God loved you so much that God gave his only son to die on the cross for your sin. They whooped him. They put thorns on his head. They nailed him to a cross for 6 long hours. He died. He shed his blood, Brother Brooks said this morning. He shed his blood on that cross. The shedding of the blood was for the sins of the world, but also with that blood, he purchased the church, according to Acts 20:28. And to become a member, we have to teach you the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. You have to repent of your sin. You make the confession according to Acts 8:37, what the eunuch said before he desired to be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he was water baptized for the forgiveness of his sin. And then when one is baptized, then the Lord adds you to the church. And then we find verse 20, Brother Brooks.
Teaching
God
to,
say what?
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
So God says, once you baptize them, have a first principle class that you can teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And God said, if you do that, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we have to not only we done today added a person to the Lord on this morning, but now after we add her, now we got to do a second teaching. That's what the marriage class is about, is to teach us how to be married, how to work out our problem. Our widowers and widows class is teaching how to comfort one another, teaching us how to comfort and support one another. That's what it's about. So all of us need a second teaching. We need a second teaching. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, the opportunity is given unto you to become a Christian. We said, and I'll just walk through it, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I want you to know, if you're not a Christian today, if you're here with us today and you haven't done what I've simply said, then you are in your sin. And Paul asked the question, should I continue sin? That God is showing you grace right now. He said that grace may abound. Paul said, no, God forbid. How shall we that are? Notice, you got to die to sin. He said, live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death. So we know you have to be baptized into when Christ died on the cross, John 19:34, they pierced him in the side. There was blood and water. When you die to sin, we have the water. By faith, Christ's blood is in the water. And then Paul said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now you're a new creature in Christ. You are now a child of God, and now you are a member. As Paul said, Brother Book said this morning, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The only church you can find in the scriptures is the one that belongs to God's Son, and that's the Church of Christ. If there's someone like to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a